Joe Blewett, Brandon Dowling.
And the home of the Jets!
And you are listening to, I feel like it's Groundhog Day, the movie, every single week here on Jet Nation Radio. As we go into another week and another show and another New York Jets loss, another embarrassing performance, another game and another lack of preparation from the New York Jets, and now the Jets fall to 1-8, the longest losing streak since 95-96. I am Brandon Dowling alongside with Joe Blewett. We still have tons to talk about, so much to get into as the Jets now fall to 1-8. You know, we saw a game that right off the bat, you saw a team that looked so unmatched, you know, in the first quarter. They were getting manhandled. The defense, for one point in that game, I thought the defense wasn't going to be able to make one stop. I thought the Chiefs might string a 70 spot on them, and they put themselves and got themselves together after the first quarter. And then, you know, the Jets muster up one offensive drive. They get in the end zone, and, of course, they let a 75-yard kick return on the, 5 seconds later. So that's just the Jets season in a nutshell. Of course, Calvin Pace tipping a ball on the goal line that falls into Fasano's lap, who's laying there taking a nap on the goal line, and he says, "Look what I found," and crawls into the end zone for a touchdown. I mean, you look at it from this way, the New York Jets season is over. It's been over for the past 2 or 3 weeks. How much more losing is it going to take for anybody to lose their job before the season ends? We're sitting here November 4th, not even at the Thanksgiving point of the year, and the season's done. It's horrible to be rooting for this team. It's horrible to be a fan of this team. It's horrible to cover this team. The New York Jets are in such a bad state right now. I don't even know what positives you want to look for. We all sat there and hung our hat on the line. The defensive line hasn't been getting to the quarterback the last couple weeks. We're running the ball all over them. We hang our hat on a running game. I didn't see too much. You saw Chris Johnson maybe have one good game because he opened his big mouth during the week. I mean, the Jets came out and looked like a bad football team. They looked like a team that was completely overmatched. And wait till the Pittsburgh Steelers come in this week, Joe. Just wait till they come to town this week, because you got a hot Steelers team, a reeling Jets team. The fans have now raised, the fans from FireJohnIdzik.com have now raised $10,000, Joe. $10,000 to put a billboard encouraging Woody Johnson to fire John Idzik next to MetLife Stadium. This is what the Jets have become. There are so many better things you could be raising money for. But the Jet fans are raising it because they want to put a billboard next to MetLife Stadium on Sunday encouraging Woody Johnson to fire John Idzik. Could the organization get to a lower point? That's the question I have for everybody out there tonight. And with that being said, go right into it. What's going on, Joe?
Another week, Brandon, another loss. Like you said, I'm not expecting anything out of this week with the Steelers coming in, especially playing the Steelers. The Jets always seem to struggle against the Steelers, even when the Steelers aren't having a great year. And you have a guy like Big Ben who has 12 passing touchdowns in the last two games, which is more than the Jets have had all season, which is 11, which is just outright embarrassing. It was just another game. It was poor offensive line play. It was basically poor everything. You have Jason Morrow not being targeted once. You have, of course, Antonio Allen getting beat. You see us get a little bit of momentum after the score to make it 7-14, and then you allowed D'Anthony Thomas to get that 78-yard return. You see the Jets struggling on third and long, because I know you too, Brandon, that in 2009 and 2010, when it was third and 12, you can basically guarantee that the Jets were going to get off the field and the offense is going to get the ball back. But this year, it's just every time it's third and long, it seems like the opponent always gets it. Even if it's third and short for the Jets, it's just we never get the first down. So we're struggling on third down a lot. We're struggling in the red zone a lot. I had a problem with, at the end of the first half, there's about 10 seconds left on the clock, and the Jets had called a timeout, and took a shot into the end zone. We were only 22 yards away. Marty could have drove a play to take a shot into the end zone because at that point we were down 21-10. There's nothing to lose. We're 1-7 at that point, so why not just try to throw it into the end zone? And even if you don't have an open route, you just throw it out of bounds. But instead, we let the clock run out and then kick a field goal. So there's a whole bunch of negatives to the game. Like you said, the only positives, like, I guess you can look at as Vic as a positive. I think he had a decent game. He had 105.7 passer rating, which is higher than Geno's, like, I think, ever had. I think he's only had over 100 passer rating once in his whole entire career. You have Percy Harvin, who had 225 all-purpose yards. He had 11 catches for 129 yards, which is the most since 2006 when Laviavius Coles was on the team. So you have a couple of positives. You have Marcus Williams and Josh Thomas, who were solid, I think, for, you know, being Marcus Williams being an undrafted free agent from North Dakota State. And then you have Josh Thomas, who was just signed to the team in October. But that was about the only positives from the game. You have the negatives from this game just stack up and stack up. It seemed like routes, like easy routes, like slants and curls, were just wide open. Nobody was on them. You had guys like David Harris and DeMario Davis. They just didn't look like they were trying, along with the defensive line. They were trying to arm tackle, which Jamaal Charles, which you can't do, and you know that too. You have a guy like Antonio Allen getting a touchdown on him, and he's getting pulled at halftime. So there's many negatives. Like, again, there's no turnovers. We only had one sack. It looked like Alex Smith was standing in the pocket for days on end. So it was an overall terrible game. There was no energy. There's a lack of focus from the team. I think it is a bad game plan from the start. Marty Morningweg is proving to me game after game that I don't think he deserves to be here next year. His game plans and some of his calls really baffle my mind. So there's so many negatives to talk about. It seems like week after week that we just keep going on and on. So we're going to get into more of the negatives, Brandon, but that's a couple of things that come off right at the top of my mind. But it was just another terrible week. And I'm expecting another one next week, you know?
Oh, absolutely. I think you're looking at another disaster this week. I think you're looking at a game where you have one of the hottest teams, and I apologize for the technical difficulties there. I think you're looking at a team that's coming in here to face the Jets that might be the hottest team in football right now. So I just don't know exactly, you know, where the Jets go from here. And I don't know. My first problem is I still don't understand what the benefit is from Michael Vick starting for the Jets. What do you think about that, Joe?
Like I said last week, I think the only positive from Vick starting next week, I still think it's Rex Ryan and Jonathan trying to save their butts a little bit. I think it's them trying to put in a veteran quarterback who actually looked pretty solid last week. I don't know if he scored 10 points, but he didn't have any turnovers. He threw the ball out of bounds when he had to. He looked at multiple receivers, not like Geno, who stares down a receiver and throws it up no matter what. So he looked decent. It's just the offense seems to move the ball from 20 to 20. They get in the red zone and they mess up and they just can't finish. It's not about the offense not being able to move the ball, because it's another game that we outgain the opponent, but we just can't finish in the big moments. We can't pick up the third and shorts. We can't stop them on third down. It's the DNA in this team, and I think it's basically inevitable that Rex Ryan is gone after this year. So I think that it's a little bit of him trying to save his job a little bit, because I think
But I mean, did you see the corners that started in the second half of this football game?
Marcus Williams and Josh Thomas. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's a token. This team is I don't know if it's me, or it actually looks like the roster has progressively gotten worse throughout this year. You know, like, we sat in the Packers game. We're watching this game, you know, after the Raiders win. You're watching the first half, you're like, wow, you know, this team is pretty good. You know, they might be able to manage with what they got out there on defense. This offense is pretty good. Geno looks pretty good. I mean, it all comes down to this. It really does. When Geno Smith was playing his best football, the New York Jets looked like a good football team. They did. In the first half of the Packers game, they looked like a good football team. They have not been the since. They have not been the same since the beginning of that game. The second half, the end of the first half to the second half of the Green Bay Packers game has been the downfall and the down spiral of the New York Jets this year. That's where they started to fall. From there on, they have been a different team. But it all comes down to the quarterback position. The Jets' quarterback position is a disaster. It's been a disaster. Yep. It's a mess. And, I mean, I'll tell you one thing. As much as it pains me to sit here and play this type of second-guessing, you saw Mark Sanchez come out and look pretty well in a Philadelphia Eagles uniform on Sunday, didn't he?
Yeah, but I think that's a little bit more of a product of a system. I think if Geno was in there with a guy like Chip Kelly, he would do almost as good as he did. And Mark Sanchez, two interceptions and two touchdowns, Brandon, something like that.
I'll tell you right now, he came in the game, he dropped a dime into Jordan Matthews, he was throwing a fist pump, smiling on the sidelines, he's got a 6-2 record, he's looking over at Florham Park with a big smile on his face, laughing. That's what he's doing right now.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to carry them anywhere. I think the Eagles will get into the playoffs because they're already 6-2. He's definitely going to lose them a couple of games because he could definitely make a good pass or two. But then he would be
the best quarterback on this roster right now by leaps and bounds than Michael Vick.
Brandon, can you tell me? I know you're a big Michael Vick hater, but what did you see from Michael Vick that you didn't?
I think the whole thing is stupid. I think it's stupid. I think we're watching Michael Vick run around out there on Sunday. First off, he gets not even one full game that he starts. What happens to him in the game? What happens?
Oh yeah, he got injured, but it wasn't like an ankle or a knee. He got knocked in the head.
Because it's the way he plays. It's a waste. Michael Vick, and this is for everybody out there. Michael Vick's starting quarterback for the New York Jets is a waste of time. It's a waste of a game. It's a waste of time. Why are you starting a guy who has no involvement in your long-term future? When you're a 1-8 team, the goal that you get out of a 1-8 team is to play everybody you have on your roster and see who's left to make this roster for next year. See what they have. It's almost like the Jets' next 7 games or whatever they are preseason games. It's really it. Because you want to see who's talented out there, see who can make plays, see who can step up, because when you go down to it, you're going to see who, you know, has the heart and has the ability to make this team for next year. What is watching Michael Vick go out there and play, what do you gain from that besides aggravation?
Yeah, but in a perfect world where there wasn't guys coaching for their jobs, where there wasn't the receiver coach and Rex Ryan and all these people coaching for your job, yeah, you could do that if you knew you weren't going to get fired.
Yeah,
but I think the Jets already know what they have.
Michael Vick is – do you honestly think when Rex Ryan goes home at night and he puts on his TV and he sits on his couch and he has his mind – all over the place thinking about what his future is going to be. Do you honestly think that Rex Ryan says, wow, you know, Michael Vick is going to save my job, especially at 1-8? What has Michael Vick shown you that Rex Ryan thinks, man, this guy can really, you know, run the table and save my job? Nothing. He hasn't shown anything.
Oh, but I have to disagree with that. I think he shows you more than Michael Vick. I know he's not good, and I'm not praising him or anything. I don't think he's a good quarterback either. But the guy had 105.7 passer rating, which is Geno's only eclipsed 100. Hold on, close to 200. I think it was 196.
But
Brandon, tell me how many turnovers he had. How many turnovers did he have?
Yeah. Oh, well, what is
zero?
That's fantastic.
Zero.
That's awesome. Oh, I'm gonna let's. But, well, that's fine. So, what is his turnover differential over the games that he started this year. It's still horrible. He probably has just as many turnovers as Tom Brady does for the whole season and his three games that he's played in.
Oh yeah, but you would like to think that after the week of repping with the number ones, he definitely looked better than he did when he came in against the Chargers and against
exactly.
the Bills. And I think
he looked so great with the first quarter they had. It was 700 yards to 10, and after the first quarter of the game, it was awesome. I was so happy.
Yeah, but
I think
that's also
to watch.
I think that's also a little bit of a sentiment of the Jets having to put in two tight end sets to block Justin Houston and Tom Bahali. So he didn't have a lot of receivers running around.
It's a waste of time, Joe. It's a waste. If this team, do you know what Michael Vick was brought in here for? Michael Vick was brought into this team as a stopgap starter for when Geno Smith fell so bad, like he did this, that's why Michael Vick's in there, to have Michael Vick come in there and try and re-put a grasp on the season. There's no re-grasp on a season when you're 1-8. If the New York Jets were 4-4, or even 3-4, something like that, where they were right around 500, and Geno Smith is costing you games, okay, and you're trying to, maybe you have enough talent on your roster to make a run, maybe have enough talent on the offensive side of the ball to make a run, you're right in the middle of the pack, you're right with the Dolphins, 5-3, 4-4, you're trying to scratch and claw your way into the playoffs. Then I would say, put Michael Vick in, see what he can do. Maybe he could take you to the playoffs and win a playoff game. But when you're 1-8, when you're 1-8, you don't benefit from Michael Vick starting. He's not going to be on the team next year. Half of these players on this team right now might not be on the team next year. It's a 1-8 football team. It's a disaster team. When you're 1-8 and you're not playing for anything but pride, you let the young guys go out there. You let them show what they have. You see what you have in terms of a roster as a whole, and you put that together for next year. Michael Vick does absolutely nothing for the New York Jets at 1-8. If they're 4-4, 5-3, and Geno Smith is obviously the reason why you're losing, and he's below average, and you want to make a switch because you might have a chance to do something special and get and sneak into the playoffs, I'm all for it. I want you I want you to find me one team that has a record like this that throws out a veteran starting quarterback that has no future there in the first place. You're 1-8. Let the players play, show them what you got, move on to next year, and put the season as a wash because it's a disaster.
Yeah, but see, where I disagree with you is I don't think I would, as a fan, as a personal fan who buys season tickets, if Geno was playing the way he was and then we just kept him in there, I would be pissed off because then what's the point of even getting Michael Vick? It's just that you know what you have from Geno.
I told you
already
the point
know,
of getting
you know,
Michael Vick.
Yeah, I know, but you're saying you want to put the young players in and play. Like, I understand that from the perspective of guys like Marcus Williams or like I don't know. Your younger guys like a Jaquan Jarrett or something like that.
Joe, you have season tickets. In terms of excitement as a fan, it's already gone, isn't it? You're not excited to go to the game on Sunday at MetLife Stadium, are you?
Hey, hold on. Wait. I am excited. If we came out
you're
there and we won.
You're excited to go watch the Jets, the 1-8 Jets play the Red Hot Steelers, and Ben Roethlisberger probably threw up 700 yards on Sunday. You're excited. In the freezing cold, might add. Now it's getting cold outside. You're excited to go see that?
Oh, I'm not necessarily excited, but if I didn't have any excitement in me at all,
no,
I wouldn't be
you
going.
No, the only reason you're going is because you feel a financial obligation to go to the game because you paid for your tickets already, you paid for your parking pass, you got your steakums, you got your peppers ready, you're ready to go. You feel the obligation to go.
No,
there might be about 40,000 to 50,000 Steeler fans there on Sunday too to add into your mix there. Because I went to the game.
Oh yeah, I expect it to be half Jets fans, half Steelers fans. But I could easily go into StubHub and sell my tickets for $25 probably that they're going to be.
Steeler fans because no Jets.
Yeah, exactly. But
you.
going to the game already cost me money because it's going to cost me $10 in gas. $15 in beer, $15 in food. So I could easily sell my tickets.
You live down in Florida, don't you?
Yeah, no, I live about 45 minutes away, right by the beach here in Jersey. But I just think that if you kept a guy in Geno and you know what you have from him, you know he's not a good quarterback, you know what you have in Matt Sims. I'm sick of hearing the Matt Sims stuff. Matt Sims is not the answer.
I thought he actually spun the ball pretty well for the whole 30 seconds that he was in there.
Yeah, he went 3 for 8 with 20 yards, and he missed Curley wide open twice. He's not the answer.
That's average for a Jets quarterback.
Yeah, I know, but he looked good in preseason. Well, I could probably look decent or against third and fourth string guys. It's not hard to look good in preseason when nobody's trying.
I understand what you're saying. I understand where you're coming from in terms of you want to see what Michael Vick can do. You want to see, you know, you bring the fans' excitement into it. They don't want to see Geno Smith anymore. I get it.
Yeah, but I have a question for you. I have a question for you, though.
The Jets don't care about
what you think, real quick,
unfortunately. Go ahead.
So you're telling me that you could guarantee that Michael Vick's not going to be on the roster next year, but you never know if Michael Vick could be on his team next year with the state of the franchise right now and how it's going. If he came out, he did decent, and then you never know if the Jets we might pass a quarterback in the first round, and then you have a guy like Michael Vick against a guy like I don't even know who's a free agent next year. I think like a Matt Castle is a free agent, so you never know. Michael Vick could be a starting quarterback for next year, so why not let him show what he has? Because we know what we have from Geno, we know what we have from Matt Sims, and as a fan, I know what most of these games we're going to get.
To answer that question, I'm not standing up.
Okay, well, you have to wait a second. But as a fan, I think if they played Geno after these games and he kept getting these 3 turnovers games, 4 turnovers games, and he sit on the sideline with his towel over his head, and he's mentally strong to the media, and he looks mentally strong, so he doesn't say much, but he's not mentally strong. As soon as he started to mess up in the Packers game and in the Bears game, he went down from there. So I don't want to see Geno. I think Vic, even though we only scored 10 points, and of course we lost, even though we outgained the Chiefs, which has been a theme of this year, outperforming teams in the yardage mark and then losing.
Yeah, because of the garbage time at the end of the games when they're down by 30 points, you throw the ball and you try and gain some extra yards, and they can't finish drives. But to answer your question, the quarterback for the New York Jets is not on this roster right now. It's very clear. It's obvious. Michael Vick will not be on this roster. No, I can guarantee you at 1-8, with the state of the fan base, with the state of the organization right now, the New York Jets starting quarterback next year is not on this roster. Who do I think the starting quarterback? I don't know. It could be definitely they could go with somebody from the draft, somebody through free agency. Mike, the reason why Michael Vick also is happy to play these 8 games, and I've been reading articles about this all over the place, is because he wants to prove to the rest of the league that he could potentially go somewhere else and be a starting quarterback. The Jets are not in a position to have a veteran QB. Michael Vick is a good type of player to be, like, for example, what a Carson Palmer is to the Cardinals. Veteran QB, maybe not the best quarterback with a good, solid roster where he can take it and he can lead that team. The Jets need a young quarterback that you're going to have to develop, you're going to have to start over with. Could it be Geno Smith? Potentially.
No.
You could see Geno. Potentially, it could be. But
Geno Smith,
I am not
buying season tickets. I'm done.
Right. Well,
done.
It's a matter of do they want to, 2 years in, are you going to hit the reset button on your Geno Smith project? Are you going to get rid of him? That's a possibility.
I think you're going to have
Michael
to. I think that
Michael
Rex Ryan
is
gone.
Is not going to be on this roster next year. He's not going to be the starting quarterback of the team next year. They don't have a good enough roster. If you're going to see a team that's going to struggle now, probably for another good solid year or two before they rebuild this roster back up. You're going to need to fix the secondary. You're going to need to add some more pieces to the offensive line. You're going to need a quarterback. It's as simple as that. You're not going to win in this league. I mean, I'll tell you right now, I mean, I personally think the Jets are probably going to shoot for the quarterback out of Oregon, Mariota.
Mariota?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, the thing about it is the Jets are going to have to draft a quarterback next year because I have news for you. There's nobody in free agency. Brian Hoyer is not going to leave the Browns because he's on a $800,000 contract. He's not leaving. They're not going to let him leave, especially they don't know what they have in Johnny Manziel yet. So he's not going to be on the Jets. There's no – free agents I would even want on the Jets. So we're gonna have to draft a quarterback. And if we wanted to sign Michael Vick to another deal where he's the backup, I wouldn't be that mad. But I'm telling you right now that if Geno's even considered as a starting quarterback next year, I'm not buying season tickets. I'm not going to games. Of course, I'll watch because I'm a diehard Jets fan, but I'm not spending my money on this team. So I agree with you. I don't think the starting quarterback is on this team right now. But I still go back to my point that I think that Vic should be starting right now because we know what we have from Geno. We know what we have from Matt Sims. Vic definitely provided a spark. I know we lost, but he did better than Geno did almost ever.
There's no spark. You're 1-8 and you keep losing. What spark? There's no. I don't want to hear about this stupid spark. It's amazing. If I hear that dumb terminology one more time, I might explode. Okay, there's no spark. You come out there and you have one good drive and everybody's cheering and then you go back down by 35 points because you're fumbling the ball. You're out there with butter on your freaking gloves while you're holding the football like it's a loaf of bread. There's no spark. You're 1-8. He sucks. The quarterback position is horrible. It's so frustrating to listen to these people with there's a spark here. There was what spark? Fumbling
the
ball,
Brandon.
Down by 40, it's nuts. And Joe, by the way, Richard Gonzalez at Rich Jets wants me to cut you some slack and go and hope for a huge upset against the terrible Talos this week on Sunday. So I figured I'd give my man at Rich Jets a shout out on Twitter. But let's go to Zach, who wants to talk about the season as a whole. I'm sure it's a positive phone call, right, Zach? Go ahead.
That's very funny. when you look at the season as a whole, the Jets weren't really, talented, with on both sides of the ball, obviously, with the cornerback and with the offensive position, even though they got Decker and Harvin. Rex Ryan really wasn't put in a great situation, and that's why I honestly believe they will fire John Idzik. Not only is that probably going to happen, I don't know if you noticed or you've been hearing what's going on in the news, but they also created a website called FireJohnIdzik.com. Apparently, they needed $10,000 to get a billboard right by MetLife Stadium to say Fire John Idzik, and apparently they got it. That right there, that just shows you how much Jet fans have given up already. And not only that, I'm telling you, this Sunday, the terrible towels will be loaded. I don't even think there's going to be even 10% of Jet fans there because
I agree.
Every single fan has given up already. Every fan. It's going to be packed.
Yeah, well, can you blame them?
I can't. It's going to be black and yellow. And and honestly, what I saw what Roethlisberger did to Indianapolis, you better hope that doesn't happen to us.
Maybe he'll eat something. He'll go to a restaurant and have like some bad steak or something like that before the game, and he'll miss the game on Sunday. And then
he'll miss a meeting for a movie.
Food poisoning.
Yeah, yeah, Zach. I mean, you're right on to it, man. I don't really, I see exactly what you're saying. I think Joe will be one of the 10% there on Sunday with all the terrible towels. I mean, I've actually been to a Steelers and Jets game, and it was bad. I mean, I actually went to I sat in a section that was bought out. The whole entire section was bought out by Steeler fans. They travel better than everybody else. So that's going to be interesting in itself. It's going to be all Pittsburgh fans on Sunday. The motivation for this team is gone. I mean, our own man, Joe Blewett, actually caught up with Muhammad Wilkerson, and he said it himself. The lack of focus is gone, the lack of communication. They're just not playing well right now, and it's showing up that they're not putting wins. I mean, it's a disaster. The season's been a disaster. The team's a disaster. I mean, what else can you really say,
Yeah, right. They're really just fighting out there for themselves. These guys, Mo, these guys they don't want to humiliate themselves, because they worked hard, before the season. It would just be terrible, to see if they get blown out, But, hopefully, maybe they can be, spoilers. Maybe they can make some teams, miss the playoffs. Maybe they can, this year they can probably be spoilers. So, it'd be nice if the draft was tonight. I do believe the Jets would get, I think, the second or third pick of the draft. The Jets at this point they should just lose every game and get the first overall pick.
They
got nothing to play for.
Yeah, but it doesn't work that way. Nobody's gonna go out there and throw the season.
We're gonna have to hope that the Raiders actually win a game to get the first pick. So, I, like you said, Zach, I'm never ever going to root for my team to lose games, but I definitely wouldn't be mad if we acquired a top two, three, or four pick, because as of right now, it seems like we're gonna compete with the Buccaneers and Titans for one of those top picks, because you know both of those teams are gonna want to grab quarterbacks, especially now that the Buccaneers are making a switch back to McCown. And benching their quarterback. So I understand what you're saying, but I honestly think that if the Jets had a quarterback, that we're not that far away. We definitely do have some pieces. I understand that we don't have a true free safety. We're missing some corners. We're playing out there with fifth and sixth string corners. We're missing an outside linebacker and obviously a quarterback. But I honestly think that we're a quarterback away. So my question for you, Zach, is if you had your choice of a quarterback next year, obviously not saying a guy like, oh, well, Andrew Luck is going to come here, but being realistic, who would you want as a quarterback of the Jets next year?
The available, the bit. The thing is, you know, you think these guys are like hot, you know, coming out of college, but the question is, how are they going to transition from the college level to the NFL? You saw that with Jason Morrow. We all thought he was going to be the next Gronkowski, which in fact he's had a solid season. But you have to understand something. We expected Jason Morrow, the leading reception yards from Texas Tech, you know, to have a monster year. You know, and he's just not having that. But that's not really to blame him. You know, the Jets really don't have a good quarterback. And I don't know. I've been hearing some rumors, or some of these guys are like this guy Mariota. I don't know, this guy maybe Prescott. I don't know if these guys, you know, would typically fit the Jets style. You know, of what whichever coordinators are. It depends, right? It depends who their coordinators are going to be next year, who their staff, who's their coach, who's going to be, you know, who's going to be in the coaching jobs, and you know, once they figure out who's going to be the coaches and who their staff will be, then they'll figure it out who they're going to draft at cornerback and quarterback.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, Zach. You know, you can't really make that call based on who's running the team. You know, if the general manager is going to be here, head coach is going to be here. I really don't think that, you know, the quarterback of the Jets next year is on this roster. I don't. I think Woody Johnson is going to kind of lay low for the rest of this year because of how bad their record is, and he's going to try and get by with what they have. But, Joe, I'm telling you right now, as sure as I'm sitting here, Woody Johnson wants to put, you know, some heart back into this fan base. He wants to put some people in the seats that are wearing green. He wants to get people excited about the Jets again. He'll do whatever it takes to do that. We've seen him bring in Tim Tebow. We've seen him do some crazy things to get people, you know, to get people excited about the Jets and put the Jets in the mainstream media. I wouldn't be surprised with the way Brian Hoyer is playing in Cleveland. We heard rumors about it for the past couple weeks. I wouldn't be surprised if the Jets go and get and trade for Johnny Manziel from Cleveland. I wouldn't be surprised. The way Brian Hoyer is playing, they've already practically deemed him the quarterback of the future in Cleveland. I wouldn't be surprised for Woody Johnson to pull the all-time spark. Everybody, you know, the big name, huge college name, big-time quarterback name. That to me, trading for Johnny Manziel to be the quarterback of this team screams Woody Johnson and screams Jets, doesn't it?
Yeah, but I'm telling you right now, if we trade for Johnny Manziel, I don't think he's going to be a successful quarterback in this league, and I don't like his attitude. I don't like his little money sign. I don't like how he acts off the field. So honestly, if we got Johnny Manziel, I would be pissed. I'd rather, like Zach said, draft a guy like Mariota. I know that he has some problems, they say, with his locker room stuff. Or a guy, I honestly, even though I don't like this guy either, I'd rather have Winston than a guy like Johnny Manziel, because I know that Winston has his problems, but Winston comes from a pro style offense. I think he's a little he's NFL ready.
But
I'll tell you right now,
are the Jets fans? How is Woody? If you're a Jet fan, what excites you more? Drafting another quarterback, having to, you know, have another rookie out there, having to deal with another rookie season slump, having to deal with a quarterback that you don't know if he's the future of your team yet, or going out, trading for a rookie, for a quarterback that probably won't step on the field this year, got to take that whole year behind somebody and watch, you know, take a season to watch everybody else play, who's going to want to be ready to go. Because you know, you and I both know, Johnny Manziel is going to talk his way out of Cleveland. He's not going to want to sit behind Brian Hoyer. He's going to want to go start for a team. They're going to want to trade him. Woody Johnson will be licking his chops, Joe. He'll be licking his chops.
The thing about Cleveland is I don't think that Brian Hoyer is a bad game or two away from getting benched for Johnny Manziel. So I don't think they're gonna want to trade him. And I'm telling you right now, I know that a lot of Jets fans would probably be excited for Johnny Manziel. But if we get Johnny Manziel, he's losing one customer, because I am not buying season tickets next year. I do not like that guy. I don't think he should be in the New York media.
What would it
be like with Johnny Manziel, a guy who parties all the time, who's probably going to miss meetings? What would that be like in the New York media? Can you imagine all of the articles that would come out? I couldn't even go online because I can't even imagine all the articles that would come out from guys like Samini, guys like Fish, who
just make up
bull crap articles.
It's Woody Johnson, Joe. All I'm saying is Cleveland will take Johnny Manziel. They'll say, we believe in Brian Hoyer, blah, 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 blah. They'll say, Woody, your team's 1-8. You're struggling. I keep watching you on CBS. That stadium's half empty. Let's make a deal here. You want Johnny football? Boom.
Comes what are we giving up? What are we giving up for Johnny Manziel?
I would say Cleveland would take probably a third-round pick for Johnny Manziel.
Tell me why they're taking a third-round pick when they used they traded up in the first
because
round.
Because they made a bad trade. They're not going to want a first round. They're out of their minds if they think a backup quarterback.
Yeah, but why are they going to take? Why you don't think that there's a team like the Buccaneers or a different team who would take Johnny Manziel for a first-round pick?
I don't think anybody has the guts. Gus to make a trade for Johnny Manziel.
Okay, well let me turn the pages back on you. Before you guaranteed that the Jets would not have their starting quarterback on this team, I'm going to guarantee you that Johnny Manziel is not a Jet ever. Maybe when he's 40 and we want him as a backup, like a guy, you know, if we're babying another guy, I don't know what his name would be because he's probably not born yet. I don't know. Steve Johnson or whatever his name would be. Maybe he'll be a backup like David Garrard is. Maybe we're babying him if Rex Ryan still is here, who I don't think he should be here after this year because of some of the decisions like the two timeouts, which I didn't even get into before you again.
Yeah,
another
but,
game.
But
there's another hold on. Wait, there's another
do.
Game where
that's
it's
silliness.
Poor clock management. You have a guy like Vic who wasn't aware of the play clock, and then a theme of Rex Ryan. Wow, there's 12 men on the field. Let's call a timeout, which we could have used later in the game if we scored one of those touchdowns and we were in the game. So I think that Rex is gone. I think that some of the things he's doing right now, I know you can't blame him, but if we lose this week, Brandon, it's the first time in Jet history, and we've had some really, really bad Jets teams, that the first time the Jets will ever get 9 losses in a row. So I understand that he has a lack of talent, but with some of the teams that we've had on the Jets and some of the lack of talent that we've had in the past years, there's no excuses for this. We have talent. I know we have holes, like I said before, at the O-line, at the outside linebacker, at the safety, but we have some good pieces. You have a guy like Percy Harvin.
Brian Kelly and Johnny Manziel will be here next year to fix it for you.
I'm fine with the one piece of that. If we get Brian Kelly, I like Notre Dame, I will be ecstatic. I think that Brian Kelly will be a great coach for this team.
I think it'll be a disaster.
I think that he'd be a good coach, but other than that, I don't think
Brian Kelly coming to the Big Apple,
Johnny
Manziel Stadium.
He will not be here, but I'm telling you right
now
that
no,
Kelly's not going to come. Jim Kelly will not come here because you know that if he was getting an offer from another team, Notre Dame would offer him $5, $6, $7, $8 million, whatever they had to do. So I'm telling you right now, Brian Kelly is not going to be on the Jets. I don't understand why he'd want to come here. that would be a disaster if we got Johnny Manziel. I don't know if you're trying to play jokes or you're trying to make this a comedy show. Like the season has been.
I'm not making this up. This was all over NFL.com on the rumor mills, Joe.
Yeah,
I'm not making this up.
Yeah, but you know there's guys like Minshew oh, well, today in my team in Madden,
Cleveland,
I traded
Cleveland
for
Cleveland,
so I'm going to write
Cleveland
an article
goes,
about Jake
hold
Green.
On a second. Hold on a second. Cleveland goes 10-6. They make the playoffs. Hoyer's the man in Cleveland. The Browns are in the playoffs. They're shopping Johnny Manziel. You don't think the Jets are going to be interested?
Brandon, we're making this into a Disney fantasy land show. We have to get back to football. Johnny Manziel.
This is a real. This is a real rumor. We're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, we are going to get Joe even more aggravated and keep talking outside trade rumors. Back after this. You're listening to Jet Nation Radio.
Since the average attention span is now about 27 seconds thanks to ADD, ADHD, and bad TV, if you're a business of any kind, how do you reach your future clients? You need a marketing partner ready to implement those online strategies and properly target the right audience with the right information using the right media. You need the Strategic Peacock. From mobile to multimedia, the Strategic Peacock will enhance your online presence and help create potential growth. When you're ready to understand how the modern mind works, go to strategicpeacock.com and develop the right web strategy for you. Strategicpeacock.com.
New music.
Are you an independent artist? Do you struggle with getting your music out there without burning a hole in your pocket? The Indie Outbreak is the perfect radio show for you. Broadcasted around the world, heard by thousands of incredible fans, always on demand. You can be too. Interested in being part of the outbreak? Go to IndieOutbreak.com and click the Submit tab for details. Be part of the epidemic sweeping over the world. Indie Outbreak. IndieOutbreak.com.
Amazing.
What seems to be the problem?
I don't know, doctor. I just feel sick.
What have you been listening to recently?
I don't really know. Just whatever's on, I guess.
Seems to me like you have a serious case of bad music.
Am I gonna die? Is it contagious? Is it dangerous?
It can be dangerous. It can cause headaches, earaches, vomiting, nausea, and in extreme cases, even death.
Oh no! What should I do?
I'm going to prescribe to you 60 milligrams of Indie Outbreak. It'll help prevent bad music disease and will make your life better and worth living.
Thanks, Doc!
Back on Jet Nation Radio. I'm Brandon. Before we get back into our comedy show slash fantasy land thing, I wanted to bring up a quick point before we didn't get to say this before Zach got off the line, but he was saying that a guy like Amaro hasn't really lived up to his billing so far. But I wanted to bring up a quick stat about Amaro. Amaro this season has only played 277 snaps compared to Jeff Cumberland's 534. And as the stats read, he has 39 targets, Amaro this being, 39 targets, 32 receptions, and 285 yards, which is actually pretty solid for the amount of time he's playing, compared to Cumberland's 31 targets and only 154 yards. So I have to disagree. I think that Amaro is playing pretty good for what he's given, and it boggles my mind that he is playing almost 50% less than Cumberland when Cumberland isn't providing us something. And another point I want to get to, since you're going to try to supposedly piss me off after I make my point, but another spark, I know you love that word, spark, is Percy Harvin. So I wanted to know what you
true.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So there you go. We're bringing back that word spark. But when you have a guy like Percy Harvin with 225 all-purpose yards, he almost brought that kick return back for a touchdown. And I never knew that the that the Chiefs kicker was a soccer player and he punted his leg. He had 11 catches for 129 yards, so he was definitely solid. We definitely have a lot of pieces on this team. You have guys like Percy, like Decker, like Ivory, even a guy like Chris Johnson, who I know is not living up to CJ2K or even CJ1K, but he's a solid backup. Yeah, exactly. But we definitely have pieces. We have David Harris. We have DeMario Davis. We have, and the thing I'm sick about hearing is the Calvin Pryor bust thing. I know he had a bad game last game. He over-pursued a couple times. But when you see it with Antonio Allen, when you use a guy out of position, you're moving him around and he's not in his natural position, which we all know Calvin Pryor is supposed to be a strong safety, and you put him at free safety, he's going to struggle. So to say that Calvin Pryor is a bust is ridiculous at this point. I would like to see what Calvin Pryor could do with corners and with another true free safety alongside of him so he can play his natural role of strong safety. So there's definitely pieces, and I'm excited. I know we're 1-8, but I'm so excited to start. Not to start. It's not a complete rebuild because we have guys, we have pieces. If we had a quarterback on this team, Brennan, I know that there's a lot of problems. But if we can I know this is a big if, but if we can get some more turnovers, we're on a historically bad season pace right now for turnovers.
Yeah,
we're the first team since. We're the first team since 1940 to only have three turnovers for the first nine games. The least amount of turnovers in a season is 11. So we're about to shatter that record. So we're a historically bad team right now with some of the stats, but we have the pieces. So it just leads me to believe that it's the coaching. It's something in the water there. It's in the DNA of this team. So we have the pieces. We just have to rebuild. I don't think that John Isaac is going to be gone. I think that Woody is going to let him do what he has to do with his $50 million in cap space. But I think guys like Morningweg, like Rex Ryan, and like guys like Sanjay Lyle are going to be
gone. You can't. You can't fire the head coach and not fire the general manager. You can't do it. You cannot look at this roster that was given to the head coach and say, Rex, you're gone. John, you stay. I don't care. I don't care if John Isaac's been here for 6 months, if he's been here for a day, if he's been here for an hour. It doesn't make a difference. You can't look at John Idzik's body of work in his 2 years and go to Rex Ryan's body of work and say, guess what, Rex, we're going to fire. If this team, if the Jets right now weren't so far under the cap, if the Jets were, you know, spending their money, bringing in top players, bringing in good talent around this team, and this was a good roster, and the coach could not put it together, and they had a solid offense, and their defense was giving up tons of points, and Rex Ryan wasn't holding his weight. Absolutely, you fire the head coach. But you can't, if you're going to fire the general manager, if you're going to fire the head coach, John Nitzik must go. He put together a horrible roster. Hold on, let me finish. He put together a horrible roster. He gave the Jets no pieces to work with this year in the secondary. He gave them no pieces. His draft was, I don't care if we're nine games into the season, he's got four picks out of 12 are on this roster. It's a joke. It's a disaster. You were given 12 picks, and he wasted them. Okay? The general manager didn't put a roster together for the coach to succeed. You cannot realistically say, Rex, you're gone, Idzik, you stay. You fire Rex, you clean house. You clean house, you start from the top, you go from the owner down, everybody's gone. You can't look Rex Ryan and give him a pink slip and not do the same for John Idzik. It can't happen because this season is at fault of the general manager. Just look at the cornerbacks that were starting in the Kansas City game. These guys are walking on. These guys are walking around, looking for teams to play. It's amazing. There's no talent on this. There's no talent right now on this roster that's good enough to compete with these teams. Sure, they have some pieces. Sure, you like Percy Harvin. You like Eric Decker. You like DeMario Davis. You like Nick Mangold. You like Chris Ivory. Sure, there are some pieces on this team. It's an NFL football team. They should have some pieces on this roster. But the depth is a joke. The talent is a joke. Nobody could take this team and succeed right now. I don't care if Vince Lombardi coached this Jets team right now. The talent isn't there to compete with teams.
Yeah, but problem. I, well, for I don't think there's a lack of talent. I know it's all about the quarterback.
You don't think there's a lack of talent on this team?
Okay, Brandon,
hold on.
Wait, I know there's a lack of talent to obviously be competing with the great teams, but we have pieces. I have to disagree with you to say that
they're
we don't.
They're 1-8.
Brandon, that's a problem with Rex Ryan. It's the coaching. It's Vic not
what
being
pieces?
Ready. It's guys.
What pieces? They have no quarterback.
Guys,
they have no secondary. What pieces?
It's guys not showing up to meetings.
Yeah,
it's penalties. It's pre-snap penalties. That's Rex Ryan. It's using the timeout.
Brandon, we are
about to set a record. A record for 9 straight losses. No Jets team has ever done that. I don't care what you say
because
about lack of talent.
Because their roster is a joke.
You're telling me that this roster is worse than the rosters that they had in the late 90s and things
yeah,
like
but
that? No.
But that's a silly argument. That's a silly argument. We're looking at the team that's put on the field right now. We're looking at Josh Thomas starting at the cornerback position.
Okay, yes,
we're looking at Salim Hakeem. We're looking at Salim Hakeem tracking down Sammy Watkins last week in the Buffalo
okay, yes,
Bills game.
We're
looking at right guards who are getting put on from the seventh round being put on the line because there's no depth on this team. We're looking at Michael Vick running the 1-8 Jets right now. It's a disaster. Drafting Geno Smith was John Idzik. Okay, everybody wanted to put Mark Sanchez to Rex Ryan. That's what everybody did. Rex Ryan's first quarterback, Mark Sanchez. The two were tied together. John Idzik is tied to Geno Smith. If you're going to tell me that you don't want Geno Smith as your quarterback next year, whose fault is that? Whose fault is that?
Yeah, okay. I understand what you're saying, but whose fault was it for the Tebow thing? You don't think that was Rex Ryan? You don't think that was Rex Ryan getting on it?
I think that's the owner trying to sell tickets.
I understand what you're saying about Idzik, and I know he hasn't done a great job, but it's also a lot of Rex Ryan with all these stupid penalties and all this stupid stuff. We're going to have to agree to disagree. I think that I know that Idzik isn't doing a great job, but I think that Rex Ryan gets fired before Idzik gets fired, but I hope this was your thing to piss me off, because I don't know if you have any more. But I think we have to get into
the
fix.
The fans raised $10,000.
I have news for you. That's not going to do anything.
Up.
That's not. I'm telling you right now.
That was dumb donated money to cancer
because that's not.
I agree with you. I agree with you, but that doesn't matter. I'm not saying it's going to do anything. I'm not saying that's actually going to influence the team. That's where. If you think where people are putting the blame game, you're gonna go to MetLife Stadium on Sunday to see a fire John Idzik billboard that was put up by the fans. $10,000 raised. That's what
give
John Idzik. But I gotta go to game picks. Let's move on here. We're gonna go to our picks here, Joe. How did we do last week?
I beat you. You're making me mad this week, so I'm going to be a little bit more harsh. Week after week, I'm winning. I was 4-1. You were 3-2. Your record is 23-21, and I'm 28-16. So we both had decent weeks, but again, I had a little bit better of a week.
Yeah, at least I'm staying above 500, right?
Yeah, I guess that's a goal for now.
I mean, hey, you know what? Like I say every week, if we don't bring emotion into this show, if you don't talk with your heart, there's no point of coming on here. It's what I do every single week on Jet Nation Radio. It's what Joe does every single week. First off, before we get into my picks, I want to formally congratulate Joe, who again caught up with Muhammad Wilkerson on Friday, did an interview with him. The question and answer is on JetNation.com, and the audio is on there. Fantastic job, and wanted to congratulate him on the air as well. Let's go into our picks this week. Cleveland, and the future quarterback of the New York Jets, Johnny Manziel, is going to be on the bench holding a clipboard, filling up water bottles. They go into Cincinnati. Who wins and why?
I think I've been right every single time with the Bengals, you know, either picking with them or picking against them. But I'm going to have to take the Bengals in this one in the Tundra. They're a pretty good home team. I know that they haven't had a great year this year so far. But the Browns are – Brian Hoyer isn't too impressive. They're 3 out of their 5 wins are against teams like the Titans, the Raiders, the Bucks. They got blown out by the Jags, 6-24. So the Browns, I know they have a 5-3 record, but they've beat some bad teams. I think they're still the same old Browns, maybe a little bit better. I'm gonna take the Bengals in this one at home.
I agree with you. I'm definitely going with Cincinnati here. I think that they are, you know, finally trying to find themselves. You know, Pittsburgh's rolling, so they want to, you know, keep up with the Steelers. Going with the Bengals at home. San Fran, what a way they, you know, we think we have it bad. With that roster over there, they're inexcusable for their record to be where it is right now. What a way they lost, fumbling the ball on the one-yard line like that at the end of the game. They go into New Orleans, who's finally putting their, you know, themselves back together, and they're in first place. Who do you got and why?
Yeah, Brent, I have flashbacks of last week. You telling me the Saints are going to lose on the road. They're historically bad, but I picked them and I won. So that's one of the games I made up on you. So I'm going to have to take the Saints again this week. The 49ers looked terrible against the Rams. Last game, the Saints looked good against the Panthers. It was a surprising road winner from them. They did their historically bad road team, like you said last week. They destroyed the Packers at home. The last time they played at home. So I'm going to have to take the Saints. It looks like they're starting to be the old Saints. It's looking like Drew Brees is the old Drew Brees, and the 49ers are 4-4, and they're having a bad year, like you said, with the talent that they have on this roster. So I'm going to go with the Saints at home.
Well, I can't pick the same with every game that we do with you. So I'm going to go take San Francisco on the road here. I think San Francisco's desperate for a win with the way Arizona is playing, with the way Seattle, you know, is getting themselves back on track. If they want to have any shot of getting into the playoffs, they're going to win this game this week. They need to get themselves going. I think their defense will do enough to win, and I think Colin Kaepernick in a dome can be, you know, lethal and dangerous. So I am going to go with San Francisco on the road. Chicago's reeling. They're going into Green Bay, who is maybe the hottest team in football, flying under the radar. Who do you like and why, Joe?
I'm gonna have to take the Packers in this one. I think you're gonna agree with me, even though you don't like to do all the same picks. But I'm gonna have to take the Packers. They're 5-3. They started off the season not so hot, but they definitely picked it up so far. The Bears have been a major disappointment with some of the weapons they have on offense, and they have some talent in the front seven. I know it's not great, but they have definitely some talent on that team with Jared Allen and guys like that. They're 3-5, so they've definitely been a disappointment. The Packers lost 2 weeks ago to the Saints 23-44, so I think they're going to come out pissed off and having 2 weeks to prepare for a team like the Bears who they already know pretty well because they're in their division. I think that the Packers are going to come out and pretty much blow out the Bears at home.
I think so too. I think Green Bay, you know, looking at this game, they really want to take care of business here. I think if this game was at Soldier Field, you might have a little different story because, you know, they have to be able to get something going and win a game if they want to kind of save their season in Chicago. I don't think they have it in them. I think the Packers win big. My man Mark Sanchez on Monday Night Football against the Carolina Panthers. Who do you got and why?
It's funny to say that I'm picking Mark Sanchez, but it's true. I want to take Mark Sanchez.
Come on, man!
You know, formerly of the Sanchez. I don't think the Panthers haven't been too impressive this year. The Eagles have great weapons and a great offensive coordinator. I mean, a great head coach in Chip Kelly. So I think that they're gonna take this one away at home and beat the Eagles and continue on to 7-2.
I'm going to roll with the Sanchez in Philadelphia for the next 4 to 6 weeks. He's going to come out on Monday Night Football. He's going to light it up, throw for 400 yards, 6 touchdowns, while the Jets lose 45-3 at home against the Steelers on Sunday. I think that might be a good prediction, right?
yeah, something like that.
So I'm going to go with the Eagles in a very, very sloppy, turnover-driven game against the Carolina Panthers. You will see classic Mark Sanchez, but I think the Eagles are good enough for them to win. I think I'm going to take Philly at home against the Panthers. Okay, Joe, you will be there on Sunday with your green terrible towel. I really hope that you bring your binoculars so you'll be able to see the game this time. Let's go with it. Jets host the Pittsburgh Steelers at home. Do they have a chance of not becoming the first Jets team with the 9-game losing streak?
No, they don't have a chance. I'll be up there. I don't need binoculars. My seats aren't that bad. Like I said, I'm up there with the true fans. It's going to be a laugh fest. It seems like the last couple of games I go there to drink a little bit more than I usually do. I usually only have a couple when I go to these games, but the last couple of games I started to drink a little bit more heavily because it's more of a laugh fest. It's let's make fun of the Jets. It's embarrassing. So I'm going to take the Steelers in this one. I don't have a big long thing about it. Big Ben has 12 touchdowns in the last two games. The Jets have 11 all season. Their defense is starting to look good again when they got James Harrison back. So they're playing very well. They blew out the Colts 34-51 and the Ravens 23-43. The Steelers are 6-3. They're starting to look like the old Steelers. I think the only good thing with the Jets is that Shazier and Polamalu are out for this game. So I'm taking the Steelers 37-17.
Oh, 17 points. That's a decent credit for the Jets for this game.
We have a spark, Brandon. We have a spark.
Oh, yeah, the spark. There's no spark. I think that, you know, you're going to see the scene at MetLife Stadium on Sunday is going to be really bad, unfortunately. You know, the game day experience for Jet Nation is usually a good time. You know, everybody comes out with their family and everybody enjoys themselves. I think you're going to close your eyes and you might, you know, feel like you're in Pittsburgh with the way that stadium is going to look on Sunday. Last year, the Jets were competitive, you know, in that point of the year when they played the Steelers at home, and it was amazing from what I saw how this team travels. A 1-8 team, everybody's selling their tickets. The Steeler fans are so pumped up for the way their team is playing. Ben Roethlisberger has everybody in Pittsburgh believing that this is even a Super Bowl team now, so they're going to be pumped up for this game. It's going to be Steeler fans galore. The Jets roster is going to go out there. You're going to watch these cornerbacks try and go up against Ben Roethlisberger. I just don't see them having a shot in this football game. I see Michael Vick running around, trying to do too much, probably twist an ankle of some sort, have to come out. Matt Sims or Geno Smith will have to come in. You know, it's a shame because it's just going to, you know, for the fans that are going out there, like Joe, have season tickets, the product that you pay to see is just not going to be worth the price of admission on Sunday. I'm going to go with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm going to take them in about a 35-10 type matchup. Roethlisberger will probably be sitting on the bench in the fourth quarter with his hat on. It'll be a blowout. I'm going to go with Pittsburgh in a big win fashion against the Jets at MetLife Stadium. I want to thank everybody for tuning in to the show. Again, remember, the football talk does not stop here on Jet Nation Radio. If you want to, you know, get everything off your chest, you want to talk about who to blame, do you want to fire Rex? Do you want to fire John Idzik? Do you want to fire everybody? Do you want to trade for Johnny Manziel? Fantasy talk can go over to JetNation.com too, Joe. The forums never stop. Go check it out, JetNation.com. The football talk never stops. Go sign up, JetNation.com. Get yourself involved. Talk all things New York Jets. I want to thank everybody for tuning in to the show. I hope this week we can bring some type of positive talk next week on Jet Nation Radio. But until then, we will see you next week. Thank you for tuning in to Jet Nation Radio. And remember, you can hear us live every Tuesday at 8 o'clock Eastern Time right here on Jet Nation Radio.